We start this new series, Loving the Lord, Loving the Church, and Loving the Lost. Loving the Lord, Loving the Church, and Loving the Lost. And may the Lord bless us as we go through this series here in the summer. And may days of further blessing come for us here in this place. Well, let's commence the series this morning. We're turning to 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Our theme this morning is loving the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Dear congregation, the Lord Jesus Christ is in glory at this very moment, and he is seen there by so great a multitude, those that love him. There in that place, look on him, and they see him with great delight. Now the people of God here upon earth cannot see him, but they too have that love in their hearts, along with that vast multitude in heaven at this very moment. We can't see him, but we do love him. What did Peter write here? Whom having not seen, ye love. Let me ask right at the outset. Though we cannot see him physically, do you love him this morning? We who love the Lord, we sing with the psalmist as we will in a moment. I love the Lord. You recall our Lord, along with his disciples in the upper room, sang those words before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and then to the cross of Calvary. I love the Lord. He sang it in view of his Father. I love the Lord. He led the song where we join in with him. And we sing, I love the Lord. We focus on the Father. We focus on the Holy Spirit. But we also focus on the Son. I love the Lord. It's our testimony this morning, isn't it? Whom having not seen, ye love, or we love. Well, this epistle was written chiefly to the Jews who were scattered throughout Asia Minor, young people, the area of Turkey today. After the inscription and opening salutation, Peter makes known his thanks to God for the blessings that have been bestowed upon them, and particularly the blessed hope they had of immortality. Now they were bearing a cross, and as you note through the opening part of this chapter, they soon were to suffer much tribulation. Well, in writing to them, he encourages them with a number of things. First of all, the thought of the glorious inheritance awaiting them, such as the bliss, the happiness they would know in heaven. Secondly, with the thought of the preserving power of God. Notice verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. They would be greatly troubled, persecuted, but they would be kept. Now in this opening part, he further speaks of their faith. First of all, it would be tested. And dear child of God, your faith will be tested. You young people here this morning, you children who love the Lord, your faith will be tested. The Jews, their faith, these believers here, their faith would be tested. But then secondly, it would not fail, but rather be improved and rendered noteworthy, which would be praised and honoured by Christ at his appearing. Notice verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It would be tested, but it would be improved and strengthened, rendered noteworthy and acknowledged by the Lord at his second coming. Well, having spoken of Christ, who is the principal object of faith, he further then writes to them concerning two accompanying graces alongside faith that shone forth. And we come to verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. They were looking by faith, and they had love. In whom now, know ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice. Here's the second grace, accompanying faith with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Love and joy. Their love was taken notice of, and so was their joy. We read here of unspeakable joy and full of glory. They had set their affections on things above. They were rejoicing in view of glory, that is heaven, but also it was a glorious joy, and a joy that was for the glory of the Lord. Well, the Apostle Peter speaks of their faith and these two accompanying graces, love and joy. Well, this morning we come to consider this theme, loving the Lord. And let's come directly then to verse 8. First of all, we'll consider loving what faith sees, loving what faith sees. And then secondly, rejoicing in Jesus, the beloved object of faith. And just follow this through. If we are found this morning looking unto Jesus, our hearts will be pulled and we will know a measure of joy this morning. First of all, loving what faith sees. And secondly, rejoicing in Jesus, the beloved object of faith. Loving what faith sees. Verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing. They hadn't seen the Lord, but they had faith. And they were looking to him by faith. And they had love in their hearts. Then Hebrews 11 verse 1, the apostle describes the general nature of faith. And this has a relevance on verse 8. Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We did not see the Lord create this world, but we know he did. We believe. We turn to Genesis 1, and we have faith, we believe the scriptures. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We have the hope of heaven. We can't see heaven. It's a physical place. It's a real place, but we can't see heaven, but we know it's there. And the comfort is this morning, we know our blessed Redeemer is there in his immediate presence. We believe certain things, though we cannot see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And with that in mind, we read here in verse 8, whom having not seen ye love. We haven't seen him with our physical eyes, but we're seeing him by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Just go back to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here's these believers. Their faith is tested, but they're looking unto Jesus, who will come again, as we note there in verse 7. Faith in him. Or just consider him this morning. He's there in heaven. We can't see him, but we know. He's looking on us here. He looks on us all the time. In a special way, he looks on in the gatherings of the saints. He's watching us. Oh, that I would remember more often that my Redeemer is watching me. He's been watching you throughout all the day. He's watched you. He's watched me. He's been looking at our actions. He's been looking at our words. But also he's been looking at our thoughts. He's there. We can't see him, but he sees us. He's there in glory. Psalm 11 verse 4, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. He's there and he's looking on us. Oh, that we would be more aware of him. You know, when we get to glory, we'll be so aware that Jesus is looking at us. Oh, that we'd be more aware of it now. Because he's looking at us now. We can't see him. But oh, we look to him by way of faith. We believe. We consider him this morning leading the song, receiving the praise, speaking in heaven, talking to Moses and Elijah, talking with so many in that place. We believe, we see him by faith doing that now. We believe. He's in our hearts, isn't he? What did the apostle say in Galatians 2 verse 20? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The apostle Paul, he believed it, so do I, do you? Christ lives in me. Oh, let your conversation then be becoming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He lives within. We know it. The apostle writes further, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself more for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Oh, how precious is the gift of faith. Just to be able to stop now and look to Jesus by faith and rejoice in him. At times it may appear small. Or it may be little in its exercise, but it's there in the heart of the believer. Now Peter speaks of their faith. Notice verse 7, notice verse 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing. It wasn't a blind love, no. They saw by faith the Saviour and they loved him. They couldn't see him with their physical eyes, but they were looking and they were loving him. They were loving the Lord with faith in the heart. Matthew Henry wrote, true faith is never alone. True Christians have a sincere love to Jesus. Sometimes our love may be cold, but you know what happens? The shepherd comes and we find our hearts pull towards him, and we're looking to him. We may feel our faith is small, but we begin to exercise faith. Lord, I love thee. I love thee, O Lord. Can I ask you, can you honestly ask yourself in this sermon, have you looked to Jesus and said, I love thee, Lord Jesus? If you haven't, just do it now. Do it quietly in the pew now. Tell him, look up to him, I love thee. Whom having not seen, ye love him. You can't see him, but you do with the eye of faith. Tell him then. Tell him that you love him. I will love thee, O Lord. Psalm 18, verse 1. Let's think of love then. In Psalm 18, verse 1, we have the Hebrew word roar come, and it speaks of compassion, to cherish, the most tender affection, to love deeply. And the Lord deserves our greatest love and our deepest love. And as we think of that word there in Psalm 18 verse 1, the heart is tender, there is deep affection, and there should be strong love. I will love thee. You think of the psalmist there. He's loving the Lord, but he's telling the Lord, I will love thee. I will love thee in the next hour. I will love thee this week. I will. Psalm 16 verse 1. I love the Lord. That's amazing, that psalm, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ said those words in song before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, where his sufferings would intensify. And then he would go to the cross, where there was the climax of his sufferings. Oh, he was in agony already. He knew a little of the wrath of God, but soon he knew those sufferings would intensify. What did he say? What did he sing? I love the Lord. It's these Jewish believers. They were suffering. Soon their sufferings were to intensify. But they loved the Lord. It's one thing to say that we love the Lord when things are going well. It's another thing to say when we know things are going to get worse for us. I love the Lord. I love thee, Lord Jesus. alongside faith and other graces, love is put within by the Holy Spirit. In effect, recalling faith is put within, but also there follows love. And so we read in 1 John 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. It's not in the heart before the new birth. Yes, there may be a natural love, sadly a sinful love, but not the spiritual grace of love. But when the Lord draws near, and it's the time of love, as we see in Ezekiel 16, love is put within after faith has been put within. And one loves who they believe in. It's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Love is found within. Love at the beginning. What a blessing it was to be found loving the Lord. So many hate the Lord. We're living in a country where the majority of people hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They may not say it to you, but if they don't love him, they hate him. Listen to Jesus, John 15, verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Psalm 69, verse 4. The Lord knows that so many in this country, as they did years ago, those that were around him, hate him. For a number of years, I did not love him. That meant I hated him. I didn't say that I hated him, but I didn't love him. So Jesus made it plain that I hated him. It's a difficult day to live in because most people hate the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing that we no longer hate him. We love him. Oh, to love him the more. What a blessing to love him. It began with him, did it not? 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Love to the Lord. Is there the evidence? Is there the evidence in your heart? Can you say it often to the Lord? I love thee. I will love thee, O Lord. Psalm 18. There the heart is engaged. There's such a heart for the Lord. My son, give me thine heart. And the believer finds their heart being pulled to him. There's a love for him. Spurgeon, commenting on Psalm 18, verse 1, wrote, with strong, hearty affection will I cling to thee as a child to its parent. Our triune God deserves the warmest love of all our hearts. Father, Son, and Spirit have a claim upon our love. He deserves it, doesn't he? A child shows love to their parent. How much more we, who are the children of God, are to show love to Jesus. How often do we tell others that we love them? The husband and the wife should each day mutually say, I love you. Particularly the husband, as we see in Ephesians 5. It's mutual, but particularly the husband. How much more we should be telling our beloved that we love him. I love thee. Tell him now again. Is your heart stirred? And as you think of your love, do you long to love him the more? We will consider tonight Matthew, who entertained Jesus. Well, when the heart is pulled, we want to spend more time with Jesus. We want to stay on the mount. We don't want to go down along with Peter. We want to stay there. Or is the heart stirred? Is there love for him? Do you long for more of him? That's a mark of grace. You long to have more of Jesus because you love him. Song of Solomon 1 verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon, for why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Tell me, I know, but tell me again. When did we last tell the Lord Jesus, I want to be fed in the public worship of God? I want to be fed at the midweek meeting. I want to be fed each day. You know where the feeding is, but when did you last ask Jesus to show you again? The heart is pulled, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest. I want to be fed again. There's food for my soul, food from thy lips. O Lord, tell me. It's a mark of grace, isn't it? Not only do we have love, but we have this longing. I preached on that text in Scotland 16 months ago, just before the pandemic began. Marks of grace. I am black but comely, son of Solomon. We feel our sin, but we look to Jesus and we're thankful for his righteousness. But then verse 7, a mark of grace is love. There was a dear old minister in the congregation. He's now home with the Lord. He was struggling. He was struggling with doubts in his heart. He'd been used greatly in the reformed recovery in this country, but near the end of his life, he was struggling with doubts. He didn't think he was a Christian. I remember looking down towards him in the congregation. You may not feel that you have much love in your heart, but it's there. And the Lord Jesus knows it. He knows the love in the heart of his followers. But there will come a time, I said, when love will be stirred. Oh, what love he has in his heart this morning towards Jesus. Far stronger than our love towards Jesus at this moment. But oh, for a stronger love. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. I'm looking to thee. I'm loving thee. And I'm longing for thee. Remember the Apostle Paul, he was in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. What's one of the reasons? Because he so loved Jesus and wanted to be with him. What's it like in your heart this morning? Be honest, not with me, but with the Lord now. Is it summertime? Is it a springtime? Or is it an autumn time? You've known a season, but the autumn seems to be coming in your soul, or is it a winter time? It's been a long time since you really had your heart pulled towards Jesus. Oh, for a greater love towards him. At times my love is seen as small. And the Lord has the right to question. Remember Peter? He denied the Lord 3 times. The Lord came to him in John 21, verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the 3rd time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. The Lord questions Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter's grieved. Because he did love the Lord. Why should the Lord say this? Why did Peter deny the Lord? You know, when we fail the Lord, when we haven't been walking close to the Lord has every right to come to us and question us. Do you love me? You know, sometimes someone else may come along and you know how they put it. Do you love me? Jesus has every right to say it. If we haven't given him the time as we ought to, do you love me? Why is he doing that? Because he wants to stir that grace of love. He wants us to respond by telling him that we love him. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. You've made it plain to me that you love me. Now you go forward. There are times when the Lord will sit us down. Do you love me? And the grace will be cultivated within Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I left thee. Could you say it to the Lord this morning? Perhaps the Lord is saying to you this morning, lovest thou me. Perhaps there's something in your heart or in your life that you haven't been putting the Lord first as you ought to have done. And the Lord's saying to you this morning, lovest thou me. I'll respond with Peter. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And what a blessing to say that. It is, isn't it? When Jesus comes, he questions us about our love. And then we find ourselves saying, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. I do love thee. Yes, I failed thee. I've sinned against thee. I haven't loved thee as I so long for. But Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Lovest thou me? Come, my beloved one. Come often when out of seed and thee and question me about my love. Because I want to respond. Thou knowest that I love thee. It's lovely to hear people saying, I love you. Consider Jesus listening to his followers. I love thee. He delights to hear it. He delights to hear thy voice. Let me hear thy voice. Song of Solomon 2, verse 14. Let him hear it now. Lord, I love thee. You can't see him, but you do with the eye of faith. Lord, I love thee. I know that thou art in glory. I know that thou art receiving the praise there. I know that thou art in my heart. I love thee. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, for the warming within the soul. Oh, for that warmth. Oh, for the warming of the graces, that we would exercise more love. Whom, having not seen, ye love. It's a blessing, isn't it, when we just focus on Jesus and we find our hearts pulled towards him. There, the exercise of love. Tell him often. Tell him when you are in the valleys. Tell him when you come to different experiences and on different occasions. On Tuesday, I went off to Gripplestall to work in this large garden for 4 hours. And you remember the temperature? Well, the job that had been arranged for me that day was to do weeding for 3 hours alongside this hedge in a field in that baking heat. Thankfully, I could get down on my knees and weed on my knees. Well, I began and I said to the Lord, I love thee. I love thee. You come to some mundane task in your view. Say to the Lord, I love thee. And it has to be quickly said, doesn't it? Maybe some different experience, some difficult experience. I love thee. It was so hot. It was so dusty there in that field. But I said to the Lord, I love thee. When disappointments come, say to the Lord, I love thee. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. But I love thee. When others fail you, when friends forsake you, say to the Lord, I love thee. Because he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the lasting friend, as we considered in London Friday evening. Tell him, tell your beloved friend that you love him when friends depart and let you down. Oh, look to him. Consider what he did here upon earth. Oh, what love to us. Oh, what love that he came into this world, that he suffered. He went all the way to the cross. We're told that he loved them unto the end. Oh, what love to us, oh, to love him more. As we think of Calvary and what he did there for us, oh, to tell him now, I love thee. What love for us, oh, to respond by saying, I love thee. Consider who he is. He's the altogether lovely one. I love thee. Oh, to stop today, think about his graces. Think about his excellencies. Think about his favour, his grace. I love thee. Think about his love, so strong, so real. I love thee. Think about his mercy, his compassion, how he helps you. I love thee. Oh, think that he is altogether lovely. And then consider one day you're going to see his lovely face at the end of the journey. Oh, tell him now, I love thee. I'm looking forward to seeing thy lovely face. You can't see him with your physical eyes, but you see him with the eye of faith. And he's wonderful, isn't he? He's altogether lovely. Tell him now that you love him. Embrace him. What are we told in Psalm 2, verse 12? Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Kiss the Son. Embrace him in the arms of faith, first of all. But secondly, embrace him in the arms of love. Kiss the Son. There's the call in the gospel. If you're without Christ, kiss the Son. And we who have in that initial way, keep kissing him. What do we read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Let him kiss me. Let him show his love to me more and more, and I will show my love to him. Oh, for a closer walk with him. Kiss the Son. Oh, consider these believing Jews. They were suffering. And they had been informed that greater sufferings were coming. They looked to Jesus. And they loved him. You bear a cross. It's hard at times, isn't it? Look to Jesus. I love thee. Further difficulties will come. It won't be easy. Look to Jesus now. I love thee. And I will love thee no matter the experience I must face in my life until I home. I'm going to love thee, Lord. And I'm going to tell it more often to thee. I love thee. Whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Our time is gone. Look to him. Oh, love him. May your heart be pulled that you would rejoice in him.